There were 7 committee members, including smokers, non-smokers, and ex-smokers, with a variety of opinions on the ordinance, and despite the potentially divisive issue, their meetings were friendly and productive. Chair Ben Johnson works on tobacco prevention efforts with the Petersburg Indian Association.
There was absolutely differences from the beginning. I think it helped a lot that the very first thing we did is went around the table and just said where people are at, how they feel about the original ordinance, things that they'd like to see changed, and then we just all worked from there. We had disagreements throughout all 3 meetings, but it was, you know, we pretty much always across the board went to a place of compromise.
And committee member Hillary Whitethorn is co-owner of the local bar Keto's Cave.
I think we just, first of all, lucked out with the people that we got. We just happened to get a group of people that I think are respectful to others and are open-minded, and which that was my main goal, was just I wanted to hear what other people had to say to begin with. So
over the course of 3 meetings in April and early May, the committee agreed on several revisions to the ordinance. The measure would still prohibit smoking inside bars and other public businesses or places of work, but the committee added language allowing bars or other businesses the choice of having enclosed, ventilated smoking rooms.
Yeah, it's an enclosed area where it has a negative airflow, which means that more air goes outside than comes from then can go back into the rooms that are the larger rooms that is enclosed in. So like if it was inside a bar, the smoke wouldn't just put it self out back to where everyone was. That's kind of what we came to. It's a non-service area, but it's a place where people can go smoke if they want to. And that was something that the committee together decided was an okay option.
Johnson believes the option would protect employees from having to work in secondhand smoke, and protecting employees is the whole idea behind the measure, according to Hillary Whitethorn.
It's not necessarily to protect the public that comes into the bars. This is all about the employees at this point. And the fact that it's a non-service area that the employees do not have to go into at any point, they cannot serve drinks in
but
there.
But somebody could bring
somebody
their beer in there.
Somebody could bring their beer in there, but the employee is not allowed to serve. That's the key word, they're not allowed to serve in there.
Along with protection for employees, Whitethorn's hopeful a separate smoking room could maybe even bring in more business, though it would take some work to install.
It would probably involve having to take out one of our pool tables or something of that nature, rearranging our situation, because we have to have it on an outside wall so that we can have it vented to the outside. But I think it would be well worth it if it comes to that point. It's certainly something we'll look at doing, which it might be kind of nice, actually. We'll have the benefit of having the non-smokers and the smokers still.
You think that that might help attract some of the people, at least a few people who maybe don't go to the bars as much because of the smoke?
If the people that claim they don't come to the bar because of the smoke actually come, then yeah.
Allowing an indoor smoking room also addresses some of the committee members' concerns that a total indoor ban will lead to lots more people smoking on the sidewalk. Also, the committee agreed to reduce the distance people would be allowed to smoke outside near doors or operating windows, the idea being that it was better to keep smokers closer to a bar entrance rather than encouraging them to find another patch of sidewalk that may be in front of another storefront or organization.
We changed the 10-foot to 5-foot.
Right.
So that keeps people in the area of the bars. And then, ideally, we have a smoking room
Some of the other important differences, too, you know, there was rules like ashtrays had to be certain distance from doors and things like that. And one of the big things I've heard from a lot of people in town was that we don't want cigarette butts all over the ground. So we put in, you know, got rid of those rules. People can put ashtrays wherever they want to better control litter.
The 5-foot away rule would also apply to outdoor transportation shelters, playgrounds, and seating areas at ball games and other outdoor events.
But you can't smoke on the field. You can't smoke inside of the dugouts. And you have to be 5 feet from any bleachers, grandstands, playgrounds. And the reason, you know, we talked about getting rid of it completely, but then from those areas, but then we're saying people can't smoke, and that's not what this ordinance is about. We're protecting people from smoking. And so as long as you move away from the area, we don't feel like we had the place to say that you can't smoke there.
Yeah, as long as you're not causing somebody else harm. So if you're that much distance away, then it shouldn't be causing them harm.
Another key change the committee made was to clearly exclude mobile marine vessels from the smoking prohibition. So, for instance, a fishing vessel owner who employs crew could still smoke inside their vessel docked in the harbor. The ordinance otherwise prohibits smoking in enclosed vehicles at places of employment. The marine exemption would not apply to, say, a floating bar built on a permanently moored barge.
Somebody could not open a bar on a boat that does not move out of the harbor and allow smoking there.
Right, but, or open a bed and breakfast or something in a boat, then that would still be covered under the ordinance. But as long as it's a movable maritime vessel, then it's exempt.
The committee decided not to make any exceptions for businesses with fewer than a given number of workers, so the prohibitions on workplace smoking would still apply to any land-based businesses with one or more employees.
It was brought up that, you know, if we didn't do that, if we put in exceptions for certain kinds of businesses and things like that, that would be unfair to the bars. And so we together decided that, yeah, it was just going to be a blanket ordinance that affects everyone.
Both Johnson and Whitethorn credit City Clerk Kathy Arrear for helping the group through the complexities of revising the ordinance language. The committee's recommended changes will go before the City Council on May 17th, when the Council has a second reading on the ordinance. If the Council ultimately passes the measure, it will go on this fall's ballot for a public vote in Petersburg. I'm Matt Lichtenstein.